God's grace and his mercy go out to the lowly, as Mary sang. And they go out to you, dear fellow redeemed in Jesus. Your nativity set at home, if you've got one, the most interesting character there is the baby. Most important character for sure, but also the most interesting. Nothing is more interesting than when God joins his creation, when the ruler of the universe appears as an infant. Jesus is the most important and most interesting character in your nativity set. All of history is divided by this man. Whatever you want to call the time periods, everything breaks down into things that happened before Jesus and things that happened after him. But the runner-up in your nativity set might just be the mom. The Virgin Mary has fascinated Christian minds for years, for centuries. And there have been so many theories and stories and speculations and Christmas carols all about who is this woman in your nativity set, the mother of God. Well, maybe your favorite lately, or a lot of people's favorite lately, has been Mary, Did You Know? You know, that one that speculates, Mary, were you aware of all that your son would go through, of all that Jesus would do for the world? One of my favorites is called The Christ Child Lullaby. It's an old one about how Mary might have sung to Jesus on that first Christmas night. But Lutherans traditionally have been a little timid about talking too much about Mary or praising her just too much because, quite frankly, the Bible doesn't say all that much about Mary. So we don't often get a chance to sit down and think about what she can teach us and what we can learn from Mary, but today we do. Tonight we do. And we're not going to speculate or come up with all sorts of weird theories about stuff that's not in the Bible, but we will do this. We will learn from Mary to glorify God. Learn from Mary to glorify God. And we got to start with, who is she? There's all sorts of pictures and images and songs about her, but who is Mary according to the Bible? So let's take a look at, if you were just going to take the Bible's biography of Mary, who is she? And we can start out with this, that she was pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. So she's most likely a young woman. In that culture, at that time, it seems like most people were pledged to be married around their teenage years or maybe in their early 20s. So she's a young woman. And we also learn that she's a virgin, which some people say that's just another word for young woman. But Mary seems to say something else. It seems to say that she's never slept with a man. Because when the angel says to her, you're going to be a mom, she says, how can this be? Because I'm a virgin. So she's a young woman and she's a virgin. And we know her town. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Now, if you got your biblical geography brain on, Galilee's up north. It's kind of less populated. It's kind of backwoods country, a lot of fishermen up there. And all the movers and shakers are down south. The high priest, the Sanhedrin, the governor from Rome, they all live in Jerusalem down south, but not Mary. Mary lives up in Nazareth. Not a glorious hometown. In fact, do you remember what one of Jesus' disciples said when he found out that Jesus was from Nazareth? He said, Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Well, Mary came from there, so at least one good thing, right? And Jesus. So she's a young woman from Nazareth. And we also find out that she's related to Elizabeth. The angel said to her, Elizabeth, your relative is going to have a child. So Elizabeth, we met last week, she had a miracle baby because she was beyond her childbearing years. She's married to the priest Zechariah, and their miracle baby was John the Baptist, who went and prepared people's hearts to hear Jesus' message, right? And Mary is a relative of her. So Mary is young, Elizabeth is old, but they're related. So when Mary finds out that she's pregnant, she goes to visit Elizabeth, her relative. And you're starting to get a sense, according to the Bible, who is this woman? What is this sketch, this character sketch of Mary? And here's what you can notice. It is entirely unremarkable. There's just nothing special about this person. certainly there were extraordinary young women in Israel at the time. There must have been like daughters of the high priest or particularly beautiful women or girls who could memorize whole psalms in a single sitting or something like that. The Bible just doesn't say any of that about Mary. She's ordinary. Except for one thing, the big thing, right? Except for she's God's mom, which sounds stupid to say. Sounds crazy. She's God's mom. How could it be that God gets his nutrients from her umbilical cord? That sounds crazy. And yet that's exactly what the Bible says, that the one who was in her womb is God. It said it this way. The angel said, "The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." So that's Mary. She is this ordinary woman who's God's mom. Why? Why did God choose Mary? And this is where we could get ourselves into all kinds of trouble, because answering the question, what was so special about Mary, is where a lot of bad ideas have come from in the past couple centuries. Initially, when people sat down to try to figure out how could a regular woman be the mother of God, their first answer was she must have been holy. She must have been special in some extraordinary way. In fact, before they even said she was holy, Elizabeth, her relative, said this about her. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Elizabeth says, "You are awesome. I am so honored that you came here." And that much is true. Mary was blessed, and Jesus, her son, was a blessed son. But after a couple centuries, this idea of let's make Mary great, it kind of went off the rails. So 3 centuries after Mary died, 3 centuries later, people started thinking, well, maybe she could give birth to a perfect son because she was perfect. Maybe she never made a mistake in her whole life. So if you look at pictures from around 300 AD, you'll see that Jesus has a halo, and all of a sudden, for the first time, Mary starts to have a halo. As people are teaching with their picture, Mary didn't ever sin. But then they sat down and they thought for a couple more centuries, and they said, well, the Bible doesn't just say that we are sinful because we do wrong things. It also says that we inherit sin from our moms and dads. It's almost like sin is in our DNA. So Mary could be free from doing actual sins, but maybe she's also free from original or inherited sin, which led them to say that maybe she wasn't conceived and born in the normal way. Maybe she had an immaculate conception, which is this teaching that describes the birth of Mary or the conception of Mary, not in the normal way with a human father, but this is a painting entitled The Immaculate Conception, and there's no dad or mom to be seen, but there is the Holy Spirit, as if she was a miracle baby herself. Well, as they thought some more about this, they thought if she doesn't have original sin and she doesn't do actual sins, well then maybe, what about those passages that say the soul that sins is the one that should die? Or the one that says the wages of sin is death? If Mary doesn't have sin, maybe she didn't die a normal death. And so there came the teaching that Mary was assumed into heaven, or she kind of like ascended into heaven. So here's a painting called The Assumption of Mary. Those are interesting ideas to try to explain how Mary was so great and so mighty and so much better than all the people around her. But Mary didn't do any of that stuff. None of those things are written in the scriptures. None of those things are testified by early witnesses. In fact, the primary source document, if we go back to our primary source, the Holy Spirit-inspired account of Mary's life, this is what Mary said about herself. "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." As if she did have sins and she did need to be saved, she said, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." So this doesn't really have a ton of backing in the scriptures, but it caught on because people wanted to say Mary is so great. Now, Lutherans and other Protestants generally have not said these things about Mary so much. Instead, we've got our own way of twisting this Mary character. Because sometimes you can pick up on this theme in Christmas carols or in conversations with Protestants too, is they'll say stuff like, Mary was so meek and so mild and so humble. And there is a train of thought that runs through some people's minds, and my own included, that says, maybe God chose Mary not because she was perfect, but because she was so humble. And the next thought is, well, if I want God's blessings, then maybe I need to be more meek, more mild, more humble, more shrinking violet. But if you pause and think about that idea for just a second, you realize that if God rewards people for being humble, and so we're going to, like, you know, try to earn God's love by being so humble, then we're not being humble at all. We're trying to be the best. We're trying to earn God's love and win his favor through our humility. That's why the best ideas about Mary don't come from Lutheran brains, and they don't come from ancient Christian teachings, and they don't come from Christmas carols. The best ideas about Mary come from the Bible. And the very best comes from the song that Mary sang, the very song that came from her lips inspired by the Holy Spirit. And she did not in her song say, my soul glorifies my holiness. And she did not say, I really just want to draw attention to my humility. She said, my soul glorifies the Lord. Picture it this way. If Mary has a song, the hero of her song is not Mary. It's the Lord. One person pictured it this way. If you've got a prince who's riding through an ancient medieval city on his horse, and he's the most majestic, most glorious prince. He's got all the money in the kingdom. And he comes across a poor beggar who's holding out his cup. And he gets off his horse. And he puts enough money in there to get the guy back on his feet and buy a spot in the country. And, you know, he takes him under his wing. Who of us would say, oh, that beggar sure had it down. He sure knew what to do. He was so poor, that's the way you should do it. No. You'd say, that prince is so gracious. That prince showed quite a lot of love, undeserved love. That's exactly what Mary says about God. Mary says that God is the hero of her story, and this great heroic thing that God has done for her, can you guess what it is? This most generous thing that God did, it's that he noticed her. He noticed her. He paid attention to her. Mary said it this way, he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. She says, he noticed me, he was mindful of me, because when God pays attention to you, then there's nothing but grace and blessings and salvation that can come from that. All of God's blessings come from him paying attention to you. There's a great parallel to this from the world of parenting. So they did an experiment. These guys from the University of Massachusetts, they did an experiment where they first started with a mom and a baby, and they said, mom, pay attention to the baby. When the baby cries, try to make it happy. When the baby reaches out, look where he's reaching. When the baby is smiling and cooing, you can laugh along. And when they did that, the baby was happy. You can see in the picture. This is a side-by-side video. You can find it on YouTube. It's a wonderful thing. And then they extrapolated that data out, and they could research it through other age groups and say there are so many positive outcomes that come not when parents are perfect, not when parents have the right answer to every question, not when parents are A-plus parents, but there's so many outcomes that are positive when parents are just there. They're just paying attention. They're just with their kids. Because then they told the mom, don't pay attention to the kid. When he reaches out, look the other way. When he cries, just stay stone cold faced. When he tries to make you smile or laugh, just give him no feedback whatsoever, no attention. And the kid went berserk. You see the lesson that's in there for parents, right? You don't have to be an A-plus parent. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have every solution to every problem right on the spot. But man, you do so much blessing when you're there. I'm going to draw that connection to God paying attention to us. Jesus said this about parents. Jesus said, Oh, I got to get my slide changed here. Jesus said, if you, who are sinful, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts? And I'll apply that to the attention. If a sinful human being giving attention to a child ends up blessing their life, how much more when God pays attention to you and me? How much more when we get his face turned towards us? That's why we end our worship services with this blessing. The Lord look on you with favor. Or literally, the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. That's what God did for Mary. This is the thing that God did for Mary that blew her mind. She's like, there's so many people in this world. There's so many young women and virgins in Israel, and yet you thought of me. And nothing but grace and mercy and blessing came from that. Was that because Mary was perfect? No. Was it because she was so humble? No. The real reason that God chose Mary is because she didn't deserve it, because he's merciful. Martin Luther put it this way. He talked about how God always smiles down. This is what he said. He is the Most High, and there's nothing above him. He cannot look above him, nor to either side, for there's no one like him. He must therefore look beneath him. And the farther one is beneath him, the better does he see them. Martin Luther said, God always smiles down. I would put it, my version would be, my social media is filled with the best and brightest. I read books by the best and smartest people. I follow the most athletic athletes and the top thinkers in the world. But if God had an Instagram, he would follow very different people from you and me. No doubt he also cares for, you know, high and mighty people, but God would turn his whole face towards toddlers, towards widows, and the parents that are just barely holding on through the holidays. God always smiles down. And yet, we've been in a race to put Mary up on a pedestal. Which is fine, as we're just talking about Mary and, you know, how people have, you know, taught about her in the past. But boy, is that dangerous when we apply that same idea to ourselves. How dangerous it is when you and I try to become the top. When you and I try to become number one. We live in a culture that is all about becoming the best, the most efficient. In my case, I think about becoming the greatest preacher. In your case, maybe it's climbing the ladder of popularity or influence or importance. And how wrong we have it. Because if we should get too high and mighty about ourselves, if we should get too pride-filled about ourselves, well, we just might excuse ourselves from the beam of God's downward blessing. God does not want us to have hearts filled with pride, and so he gave us Mary to teach us how to glorify not ourselves, but to teach us to glorify God. And that's exactly what her song did. The best thing Mary ever did, other than bring the Savior into the world, was sing this song. Because when you and I are trying to get to be the top, when you and I are trying to get to be proud of our accomplishments, we hear Mary sing, he has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. When you and I are trying to climb the ladder of whatever we're trying to accomplish, we hear God say, he has brought down the rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. When you sing Mary's song at Christmas time, it can really take you down a notch or two. It can really take you from self-important to down where you belong, which is perfect because that's exactly the direction God smiles. He loves nothing more than to make people nothing and then love the nothing that he's made. So, here's the summary. If God always smiles down, then this is exactly what we learn from Mary. We learn from Mary that God did not just turn his face towards us, but he came to us. That's what the whole season of Christmas is all about, isn't it? That God did not just give you his attention, he gave you his son. And that God did not just give you his love, he gave you his life. And that God did that not because you were perfect, and not because you're so pitiful, He did it for exactly one reason, because he's merciful. May your soul and mine do what Mary's did this Christmas. May they glorify the Lord, for he has been merciful to his servants. Amen. Please stand.